With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
One day to go, people. Gestures of goodwill all round. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Thursday, the 10th of June. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
I've been very up and down, guys, because I've come to the revelation that England aren't going to win the Euros.
Oh my God. How dare you?
It's just,
how dare you start a show like that?
It's just like the night before nerves. Just
yeah,
calm
exactly.
down.
Just chill out.
I just think the fever pitch of excitement was just too much, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't sustainable.
You've been giddy all week, by your own standards.
By saying the fever pitch of excitement,
yes.
Are you...
Yes.
Promoting one of your other shows?
Yes. Don't forget to subscribe to Football Ramble Presents and listen to Nick Hornby.
It's really good. Although I did imagine, having never heard him speak before,
yeah.
I did imagine he would speak like Colin Firth.
Yeah.
I don't know why I imagined that.
Because Colin Firth played a version of him in the movie, I would imagine.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
possibly.
Strange how people, it's always like, with respect to Nick Hornby, you know, more glamorouser versions of people on telly, isn't it?
I suppose
yes.
so.
Yes. No, it's Portugal. Portugal have made me feel concerned.
What, because really? They battered Israel?
I mean, it's not
like,
that
really
specifically. Yeah, 4-0, well done, Portugal, you beat Israel. But
with only really a half strength team.
Mm. Yeah, really it's just reading their squad list, basically.
But I'm very, very keen on the fact that even when they are having a half strength team, you think of all the valuable players who you'd rest. Not Bruno Fernandes, because he always likes to play and he scored two and set up one. Not Cristiano Ronaldo, because you set up friendly specifically so he can get closer to Ali Day's record.
Your life's not worth living, is it? If you don't pick him.
No, not really. No.
Someone I can't remember who it was, Mr. Chance, and didn't cross to Ronaldo, and I was just, and he just looked so pissed off, and I was just thinking, it must be quite terrifying.
I don't think it is anymore, because if you remember the apex of Ronaldo terrifying is when he scored what would have been that incredible goal against peak Spain in the friendly at the Estadio Deluge, and Nani was offside on the line, and he just lost his shit then, didn't he?
Yeah.
And it's fair enough. I would have been annoyed, you know. He just left. He left Piqué and Puyol on their asses.
Yeah. And also because Nani was almost like Ronaldo's sidekick at that point, wasn't he? That was sort of the narrative around it. So he's in trouble. He is in trouble.
Yeah,
it could help him to win the Euros.
Of Batman slapping Robin.
I like the Bruno Fernandes goal was worth a watch.
It's like a golf shot, really, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the way the sweep of it.
Yeah, out of a bunker almost, like onto the green.
I mean, arguably, he had enough time to say, you know, pass me the correct club. Yeah. And I shall dispatch this into the top corner on my favourite course, because, of course, he's back at the Estadio Deluge. Estadio Avalan. Oh, God, I nearly did that thing. Ages ago, there was, not that long ago, about 2 years ago, that guy, Miguel Cardoso, another Portuguese coach, he was appointed coach of Celta Vigo. And in the press conference, the first thing he said was, I'm delighted to be named as the new coach of Deportivo La Coruña. Oh, no, I'm really sorry.
Oh, no.
It didn't last that long.
No, I bet it didn't.
But, I mean, it's one of those things where you think, don't say the worst thing you could possibly say.
It's like,
and then it makes you say it.
Ross at the wedding.
Yes. Or that. Well done.
Well, that was a
cultural reference. Really good. You've been boning up on those, haven't you?
I don't think, Jim, anybody is going to give me any creds for being able to make a cultural reference about Friends.
Well, you know, it's something to start, isn't it? The one I always think about with that is, do you remember when Kolo Touré started from Man City and just a little slip of the tongue in the press conference, he said he was delighted to sign for Money City. <It's> amazing.
Freud just having a lovely time. There's a thorough Portuguese air to today's show, isn't there, Andy? Do you think my concerns about them as retaining the title?
They're a contender. They're definitely a contender. I think they've got a bit of an issue protecting their defence. I think they've got a bit of an issue in defensive midfield. But the squad itself is really convincing. And they can chop and change like that. They can play really good football now, which I couldn't 5 years ago as well, which is a huge thing. But
that's a comfort. I look forward to the bit on Palace.
Like I said, I think they're... not as much as I am. I think that they are a little vulnerable. I think to change the nature of the players, not just the nature of the setup, because of course they've got the same coach, but the nature of the players. I think they might find that a bit difficult.
There's been talk that Bruno Fernandes' form isn't great, but going on yesterday, he looked pretty comfortable, didn't he? Like he's having a lovely old time. So I think we can dispel that.
His not great form is still
exceptional. Yeah. I think people are clinging to hopes.
Well, I think if you think of all the players that have been flogged, and like maybe halfway through the Euros, I think my body can't take this anymore. Mm. You would be looking at Bruno Fernandes, who ever since he's been at Manchester United, they've lent on him so heavily. He's probably got Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's elbow print on his shoulder.
Yeah, well, if he can still keep it together, then that's a comfort. Let's talk about Bruno Lage. Getting the Wolves job, shall we? Portuguese manager, client of Jorge Mendes. Didn't see that were coming at Wolves, did we?
Maybe not, but that doesn't mean he's not the guy for the job.
No.
I think he's great for the job. And I think to have a Portuguese coach for a strongly Portuguese-influenced squad is no bad thing.
Yeah.
Nuno did an incredible job there, and I don't think that should be forgotten. But it had all got a bit stale. I realise he was unlucky with the Raul Jimenez injury, and, you know, I think... it seems ridiculous to say it's just one player. I mean, it's to do with squad construction. It's not really to do with him. You know, they got so much out of Raul Jimenez and were lucky he didn't get injured. He played so many minutes for them. It was incredible.
And they played so many minutes in general, didn't they?
Yeah.
Like more than a lot of teams.
Totally.
More than everybody that season before.
That's it. If you think of those two seasons rolling into one, I mean, their quarter final in the Europa League, they ended up playing in August, didn't they? And then the next month, you've got the next Premier League season. It is two seasons into one. And you're right, Jim. I think if any team was going to look worn out and uninspired, maybe it was them. And, you know, they were one of the fittest teams in the Premier League, but they were really uninspired. And sometimes you need some new ideas. They were really quite dull to watch last season.
Yeah. Mm.
And Bruno Lage plays super attacking football. He's a great communicator. He's good at empowering young players. I feel pretty optimistic about him.
Quite like the thing it said about his presentation impressing the Wolves chairman. I like the idea that you can just come in and, you know, do your best and the guy's going to be like, right, I'm sold. I didn't think I would be, but
do you think he brought a PowerPoint?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't have any evidence other why do you not?
Well, I was thinking going old school chalkboard.
Seems likely, doesn't it?
Oh.
I mean, he wasn't a player, was he? He started his coaching career at something like 21 years old.
Yeah.
It's becoming more and more common, this. I am loving this Revenge of the Nerd stuff. Like, it is, maybe that's going to be the future. It's just going to be these, like, the greatest football minds of our generation are like 13-year-old internet trolls at the moment, but they're going to pick it all up. And
I mean, if you're arguing he's like Griezmann on the plane buying Mbappe for Newcastle, I think there is something behind that, because he did bring Ruben Dias and João Félix in at Benfica and make them mainstays. Not only make the team sexy and successful, but then go on and sell them for an absolute ton of money, or enable the club to go on and sell them for an absolute ton of money.
What would you say? So his only senior managerial gig came at Benfica, of course, in January 2019. Initially drafted in as a caretaker. They were fourth. They then won the title.
And they were so good. Like, the numbers, the numbers don't do it justice.
Right.
It was such exciting football. It was amazing.
Okay. All right. So that's amazing. But what else has he done? He was assistant manager at Swansea and Sheffield Wednesday. And he likes Britain. That's the only other note I've got there.
Likes Britain. I think that's excellent. Yeah. It's a great
start. Is that comforting? Is that enough? Do you think Wolves fans should feel like, yeah, we're getting...
Well, I think the Benfica job is the only evidence we have of him being a first-team coach. And he was fantastic for most of it. Really fantastic. The way it fizzled out was a bit disappointing. But I think you look at how Benfica have struggled since, and that puts it into some sort of perspective. You know, a lot of people who blamed him for them not following up and winning the title again. And they did start that second season absolutely brilliantly. Has got a lot to do with other stuff going on at the club, you could argue.
Okay, so we're happy. Good news for Wolves
and
fans.
It seems like a continuation of a plan, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, Nuno's gone and they've just gone, who do we get? Clearly it's been thought out and it's part of the long-term strategy they have.
Yeah, imagine if a club did that sort of thing. Mm. That would be tough.
Well, it helps if you're not down to number 11 on the list, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And as for Nuno, the point being that you don't think it was necessarily like harsh that he was got rid of at the end of the season, despite what he'd achieved. The point is, it's a business decision, inverted commas, and, you know, new ideas are a good thing.
It's not good for him or good for them if they take it past the point where it's stopped working at its optimum level. That doesn't mean he can't be great for someone else.
It's like a more patient Watford almost, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's like you can see there's decline. So I said, all right, let's do something about this rather than just let it get stale.
But bizarrily, you know, because when he announced he would be leaving, it was a couple of games before the end of the season, wasn't it? And I thought that would be, well, first of all, we thought maybe he would be going to Spurs, right?
And the narrative's changed, hasn't it? It's now mutual consent.
Yeah.
And that's really quietly just become part of the story of it.
And what we thought was going to happen was that he was about to be announced as manager of Crystal Palace, which, again, no disrespect to Crystal Palace fans, that didn't seem necessarily like a step up, like a sense of progress in his managerial career. But now it seems as though, even though a deal was nearly done, it's broken down.
It's funny because, like, you know, there are journalists out there who know a lot more about Crystal Palace and about what's going on behind the scenes than me. But I think the way it's been painted, as if he's made all these extra demands, I don't think that's that unreasonable, to be perfectly honest. Because I think you go in there after Roy Hodgson, whatever you think of the football, absolutely iconic coach and someone who really chimes with Crystal Palace. It is a job, as we've said on here before, absolutely fraught with danger, because you know, you've got a clean slate, but if it starts to go wrong at the beginning, do the people upstairs completely lose faith like they did with Frank de Boer? And obviously, I think you look at Frank de Boer either side, and he's, you know, made some not great decisions, and a lot of people aren't convinced about him as a coach. But I would want to know that there is a proper plan. There are the right people around me to do that. I don't think that's unreasonable.
Also, they had so many players whose contracts were up at the end of the season.
We signed Benteke's, though, haven't
they? Yeah, they have, yeah.
Without even knowing who the next coach
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
Which is
years.
Interesting.
2 years. So they're really confident.
Well, it's better than 10.
No, it's not a 10-year contract. And we are referring, of course, to Osasuna's John Moncayola, I believe that's pronounced. They've given him a 10-year contract. He's 23, is he? Something like that. And they've described him as potentially becoming an emblem for Osasunism.
Well, you can't put in an official statement, potentially a victim of Stockholm syndrome, can you?
But what is it? What is this about? So 2031, that will run to.
All very symbolic. I mean, if we go back a couple of years, Atletico Madrid did this with Saul. They extended him for 9 years. And like 4 years in, he's regretting it already.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, presumably that's at a fixed rate as well. So it's like, you know, we're just...
So it's like, I believe it. When he's signing this contract and he's like, I believe in myself, but not totally.
Like, the benefit for him, of course, like there are like two contracts, I think, in La Liga that don't have a buyout clause. It is best practice that you have a buyout clause.
Yeah.
And Moncayola's buyout clause stays the same for the first 2 years. And then it goes down by a couple of million after the first 2 years.
Okay.
So if you stay there, you smash it for 2 years. And then, I realise this isn't the headline. I'm being very boring about this. But it does mean when you're 25, there's a good possibility of you getting sold for a very reasonable fee.
Maybe we'll see more of this.
Yeah, because like, I thought the idea was like it would just be impossible for him to be bought out because it would just be too painful. But it doesn't sound like that's the case.
Good. Can always be done.
Maybe he'll sell it like that if he doesn't improve.
Yes. Okay. Good point. Elsewhere in managerial news, Maurizio Sarri has been announced at Lazio.
Of course he has.
By a cigarette emoji. Did you see that?
That was excellent.
Twitter might have peaked there.
I mean, it was beautiful.
It's brilliant.
Presumably that was, you have to agree that with Sarri beforehand.
I mean, Jim, if I know anything about you, it's that you are excellent with emojis and stickers. Were you disappointed that it was not a... emoji of a chewed cigarette? Is there an emoji of a chewed cigarette?
Yeah, I don't believe there is. I'm sure they.
Jim
they
can
would
make
have...
them though, can't he? Well, or is exactly. that just a face?
Just come on, get on
thing.
It.
It's not.
What are you doing sitting here? Come on, behind your laptop.
I do know a man who is an emoji expert and has been interviewed on the news about them.
Stop it.
His name's Keith. Maybe I'll see if I can get him to.
How did
knock
Keith
up
come
a...
to be an emoji expert?
I don't really know. But
do you really know this?
Oh, no, I do genuinely know this.
That's quite a strapline.
Or is this a product of your febrile imagination?
I'll see if he can get a chewed up cigarette emoji made just for Sarri. Juventus. Lazio will be delighted by it. But what a brilliant moment for their social media manager there. But Serie A is fascinating, isn't it? All the managerial changes. Eight managers in the top 10?
Yeah,
or eight teams, rather?
The classics coming back, like him, Allegri, Mourinho, Spalletti. Yes.
So it's like not live nostalgia.
Band back together.
Yes.
Yeah, great. So Sarri's got a two-year deal after he's out of a job, of course, since last summer. Elsewhere, closer to these shorts, Ange Postecoglou has been appointed at Celtic. That's another one who's been waiting around for a while, isn't it?
12-month rolling deal. The Jerry Francis, I believe they call it. Yeah, it was a favourite of his, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Well, like 12 months and at the end of it, they say, do you want to carry on? all right.
It's just, I was thinking of it more as a Marcelo Bielsa. No.
Right. Yeah, maybe. That's a more modern reference point. Who thought you'd have come up with a more modern reference point?
That's within the Enrons of... Yeah, you're right. The question was around whether he could take the job without a UEFA Pro licence, but they applied for an exemption. I mean, he has been in management for 25 years.
Yeah, if you are going to get an exemption, that seems to be when you should be able to, right?
Yeah.
But
does that mean
choice?
He has to do the Pro licence?
While he's imagine that. Your manager's got to skip off early from training to like qualify as a manager.
Like, yeah, they're really inspiring confidence in the squad. Old Ange, he's having his tutor around to make sure he can mug up on his drill.
Well, yeah. All it would do is like cut down on golfing time, presumably, wouldn't it? I mean, not that any footballer should be expected to go without that.
Oh, no.
No, absolutely not.
So, especially not in the British Isles.
Although apparently they don't play it so much anymore, do they? They're running to FIFA.
Oh,
apparently
no.
Golf is dying out as a sport.
Really? They don't
of,
even
in terms of footballers
they don't
playing.
Even play golf on the Wii Fit.
Maybe they do.
Yeah.
Is that really true? Where are you hearing this?
Internet.
Sources close to gym.
I can't remember.
Sources close to milkman.
All right. Well, on that bombshell, let's get to a break. And then when we come back, we'll be hearing about Paulo Fonseca and the lightest slap on the wrist in history.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Bernie Katz was fun, he was kind. When he walked in, the room just lit up.
And there was something magical about this young man that just had a glint in his eye, that didn't give a shit about anything, but loved everything.
My first impressions were of a huge, vibrant and outgoing personality, all hugs, grins, extravagant language and wild attire.
Always in a leopard skin jacket, whirling around like a windmill. I know, she's a character. I don't know if those people exist anymore. They're sort of dying out. Everything's changed.
It is a bank holiday weekend in London, the late summer of 2017. The streets around Kentish Town, just north of the city and halfway towards Hampstead Heath, are unusually quiet. That evening, in a small, converted flat, just a 15-minute bus ride from King's Cross Station, Bernie Katz, pocket-sized and long-standing front-of-house manager of London's Groucho Club, is found dead by his landlord.
I said to him, what happened? You know, and he said, we are not talking about it. And yes, there have been the rumours. We've all heard. I mean, what did I hear specifically? That he was murdered.
His relationship with his father was so toxic. He hated the idea that his son was gay. His right. Dad was a proper gangster. Bernie came down, there was a car far from. Guy blows his dad's head off.
They're all part of the same fetid, seething, self-referential nest of vipers that I think the Groucho have become.
Was Bernie depressive? I think yes. When alone, a condition he rarely sought, he had demons that flew about his head.
I get a call from Bernie and he is in £20,000 worth of debt with the Albanian gangsters in Soho. We all collected and paid the debt.
The way that the Albanians operate is very, very peculiar because they did not operate like any other mafia in Europe.
I've never been able to establish exactly what happened and why, but whatever it was so wrong.
Bernie, who killed the Prince of Soho? Listen now. A Stack production, available wherever you get your podcasts.
And put away by Daniel James that time. Great penalty. Go on, Wales. Cool.
Cool. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. It's me, Andy, and Jim in your ears today. And now, let's get to a few of these. You know, if you got an email to show at footballramble.com,
do it for Sven. I said you got an email to show at footballramble.com.
The gyrating in here is hard to handle.
Yeah.
You can't help yourself, though, can you? So Edward Ritter has been in touch. On yesterday's show, you congratulated Curaçao on advancing in qualifying for the 2022 World Cup. That's all good, though Hiddink has not actually been on the sideline recently as he's dealing with COVID issues and Patrick Kluivert has taken charge in his stead. Like, what a dream team.
Wait,
that
is Edward Ritter a Curaçao fan? Where have we got this guy from?
But you missed the lead. Curaçao won its group, but it was at the expense of Guatemala, who scored 14, conceded none, and missed out on the third tiebreaker as Curaçao scored 15 in total, the last in stoppage time, an 8-0 victory against the British Virgin Islands before the 0-0 draw with Guatemala. So that
sounds all above board, doesn't
that
it?
That is tight.
Oh,
perfect.
Cynic.
Normal.
You absolute cynic, Brass. Yeah, well, congrats to Curaçao. Good job. Sorry to hear that about Guatemala. Thanks for clearing that one up, Edward Ritter. We've got consultants and, you know, reporters all over the world.
And thanks for clarifying how to pronounce Curaçao.
Oh, anytime. Oh, quick thing to say, guys, is get over to our socials and share your Euro predictions with us, please. It's the usual good stuff, including notable mad shit for the tournament and other things less exciting, like who you think is going to win. England, obviously.
Yeah, we've had a few highlights so far. One from Dan Polidano. Whole team isolates for COVID. Under-21s call in and win the game. Team goes on to win the tournament. People call foul. European Super Euro setup. Dax, Frank de Boer masterclass, Netherlands win. I can see them getting to the final in a sort of Dominic style coup.
Can you?
Yes. Asher says, Werner isn't offside.
You're mad.
Alvaro Morata is screaming at his listening receptacle at the moment, I imagine.
Yeah, so just find our socials at Football Ramble, obviously, to get your own predictions down ahead of the tournament. We love to see them and keep the mad shit coming in as usual. Show up for both there and show out footballramble.com. Right, Andy Brassel, it's time for the moment to either persuade me of great things that are coming to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium potentially next season, or to crush my hopes and dreams, as you already have done today multiple times. Yeah. Paulo Fonseca. Spurs are reportedly in advanced talks with him, not Pochettino. He is dead in the water for a second time, as we already knew. But
he's left you
twice. The pain is...
He's abandoned you
the
twice.
The pain is real. Thank you, Jim. And clearly, Fonseca is the guy that Jose Mourinho has replaced at Roma.
Just a job swap, essentially. Ultimately.
Perfect.
Yeah, it is. Maybe this is the step on from the Amazon series.
Right. You know,
coaching job swap. That could be series two, couldn't it?
Yes. All right. That sounds great.
So, I mean, he's won things in his career, though. I mean, how would you rate his chances of being a success there, Andy?
Well, it depends what you mean by success, really, Jim, because I can understand why people would be uninspired because he's 74th choice for the job. he has had some great moments in his coaching career, getting past the Ferreira in the top three, winning all those doubles at Shakhtar, when basically, and let's get this straight, he took over a homeless club that was not champion of their league with budget cuts and took them to three successive doubles and decent runs in Europe and established a playing identity, re-established a playing identity. I don't think that's to be sniffed at. And when Roma were good, they were really good, but they didn't beat anyone in the top eight last season. It all fell to absolute shit in the last third of the season. And my feeling about him is he's always a really good but not quite elite head coach. That is a fit. That is my feeling. Because I just think he's always struggled a little bit under intense pressure. It was this amazing bit when he was in charge of Porto, his first major job that didn't go particularly well. And just before he got fired, they let slip a 2-goal lead against Eintracht Frankfurt in the Europa League, in a game that I was at.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, they did the flash interview with him. And they said, what happened there? You let the 2-goal lead slip. And he said, yeah, it's always tough when Bayern Leverkusen start to play their football. Really? So not only did he get the wrong team, he got the wrong team name for the wrong team. And at that moment, I've never really felt like before, and I don't want to throw something back in his face that happened years ago, but I've never before felt that not that I was not angry for a coach, but like wanted to take him home for some soup and a decent night's sleep.
Yeah.
It's a little bit concerning. And other moments with Roma, where he crumbled under pressure. I think you look at the second half of the United game in the Europa League semi-final in the first leg, even though they had some injury issues there. And he had a lot to deal with at Roma. I think what this goes back to, and Paratici obviously had a long conversation with him and is still having a long conversation with him as far as we know, likes what he sees.
So he's the guy who's been appointed already as sporting director.
Sporting director, that's right, who's just left Juventus.
Mm.
But I think he's thinking he took over a very unenviable situation at Roma, post that team that got to the semi-finals of the Champions League in 2018, that lost Alisson, that lost big characters out of the dressing room like Strootman, like De Rossi, like Nainggolan, and he had to rebuild from there. So I think, you know, a lot of people would say, well, they had a bad end to last season, but they played some nice football during it, and, you know, he had a massive rebuild to deal with not much money. That is what would primarily concern me if I was a Spurs fan, the fact that you bring in this guy who you think will get slightly above par done with not much money. Because how you get from Conte to Fonseca, that's what I can't really work out.
Yeah. You said something on a text. Am I allowed to say that aloud? Like, I'd be a bit concerned. Where's that effect?
Yeah, a little. Look, All I will say is the football will be a lot more entertaining than it was under Mourinho.
Mm. Okay, well,
because his sides play nice football.
Thanks for really throwing me a bone there. No. Well, James Horncastle, formerly of his parish, says he's svelte and rather charming.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know how it's going to go.
Coldplay say, I'd quite like Pochettino back. Did you see that?
I did see that. What are they weighing in for?
I have no idea.
They're going to say what they want, can't they?
Yeah, oh yeah. I don't think anyone's going to be able to use that backing to convert it into anything useful.
No. But so was it one of the non-Chris Martin blokes?
I believe so.
It's a JB after I don't know who JB is.
Why are we even reporting it then?
Apologies. I'm clutching at straw. Oh no, wait, that's not even a good straw. That's just me saying what I think and putting it in the mouth of a man of Coldplay that I've not heard of. If he's appointed, then he could face Mourinho's Roma in the inaugural Europa Conference League after both sides qualified for this exciting new competition by finishing seventh in their respective leagues. Apparently Ajax's Erik ten Hag is still a contender, though. Okay, fine. Thank you, everybody. That was fun. Jose Mourinho. Apparently he wants to sign Granit Xhaka. And Xhaka, at Roma this is, Granit Xhaka says he's proud to be in Mourinho's good books.
Yeah, I think talkers of a fee of something like 50 million euros, which Arsenal need to get more from than that, because Arsenal are terrible at outgoing transfers, like really, really bad at like getting the maximum or even close to like reasonable for the players they sell sometimes. But I think obviously, Granit Xhaka's a far better player than he's been made out to be, and also has had a pretty good season. And his forward passing is quite underrated as well. People think of him as a bit of a crab player, 100%. But he's not that at all. I think he is he's limited in certain areas, but he's going to be a miss for Arsenal in a way I think people don't understand. But I think this is likely to happen. I think 28, good time to get some money for him. I don't know what Arsenal do to replace him. That's what, you know, the sort of chest beating, like, yeah, good, about time we get rid of him, sort of, you know, Arsenal Twitter Brigade would be glad to see the back of him, I'm sure. But he is going to leave a hole. Like, he is, aside from a sort of top form, fully fit Thomas Partey, which we've not seen that much of at Arsenal, he is Arsenal's best midfielder.
Does this condemn Saka to playing left back every time there's an injury now?
I think Saka's just going to play everywhere. Yeah. He'll have like a free role, which will be more like put out any fire you can find.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, in the transfer window is open now, but it just feels as though Chelsea, Man City, and PSG are pretty much the only people who are going to be making any transfers.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those windows, isn't it, where when the first big move happens, that'll free up everything else. And that's probably going to not happen until after Euro 2020. So it will be absolute silly season.
Well, what I'm looking forward to is loads of crazy swaps because the market is relatively
like
depressed.
The Panini window.
Exactly. And what better time to have that than during a tournament summer? You know, I'll give you two shinies for Cristiano Ronaldo. I think if I was Juventus with those wages, I'd take one in a club badge.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be honest.
Yeah. Chelsea. Speaking of Chelsea, they've just matched PSG's £56 million bid for Inter right-back Ashraf Hakimi. You think this is a good move, Brass?
It's amazing for Inter.
For Inter, yeah.
I really like Hakimi. He's a great player. Shown no evidence that he can play in a back four. So you're looking at him playing right wing back. Where he is super fun. He'd be really good, I think, either for Chelsea or PSG. But for Inter, when you're skint and you need to sell quickly, they're making a massive profit on someone in a depressed market who they can replace. And they're not having to sell Lukaku. That sounds pretty good to me.
Okay, all right. Backed. And Man City also planning for the future. Stevenage confirmed this week that 13-year-old Lekker Drake has joined City for £400,000. What do you reckon we were worth at 13?
More than now?
Yeah.
I think.
We had potential, man.
Oh, Jesus.
You can sell that,
I think we're pushing Kate over the edge here, aren't we?
You really
I'll tell you what, if you re-ask the question at 14, because between when I was 13 and 14, I grew 7 inches. So that was probably my best year at football.
Okay.
I reckon I would have gone for more than 400,000 then. Because of the potential.
So much.
With Jim as my manager, as my agent.
That's more of a comfort, I guess. I mean, the other thing I'm just about to try and, I don't know, weasel some comfort out of this is that Mourinho, to return to him, before I forget, says that we actually did win half a trophy at Tottenham.
It's astonishing that, isn't it?
So, you know, don't worry, Spurs fans. We actually got half a trophy.
But a final is half a trophy, and he wasn't there for it.
How many trophies have you won in your career? You can ask me, and I will tell you, 25 and a half. The half is the final that I didn't play with Tottenham. Saying it's like in the hand, because he would have won it.
Won it.
Yeah. I mean, you can't drink out of half a cup, can you?
Well, I mean, you can sort of turn it into a saucer.
I suppose you could, yeah. But, what do Man City think about that? Because presumably they've got the whole thing. I mean, if anyone could spare half of a Carabao Cup,
it's
them.
Yeah, probably them.
But still.
Yeah.
Do you know who he said this to, Jose Mourinho? Do you know who was interviewing him?
Oh, God. Who?
James Corden. Because, of course, it was. If James Corden has to be everywhere, and I think we live in a reality where we have to accept that that is just the case, can we not, make him fight Floyd Mayweather or something? Like, why is he... How is he everywhere?
I can't explain that.
How is Jose Mourinho speaking to him about winning half a cup?
This isn't Mourinho's fault at all, basically. James Corden is prompting him to say these things.
When's it ever Mourinho's fault?
So did David Schwimmer say that he'd done 8.5 series of Friends or something because they were doing the special?
Yeah. Probably did. So, I mean, how do you feel about the half a cup?
I feel like that's a very patronising question.
You still drink out of the Carabao Cup finalists mug, don't you?
I didn't smash it, yeah.
You need to correct it.
Because my good friend Luke bought it for me, and I wouldn't want him to feel like I'd rejected his utterly mocking gift.
But don't get rid of it until you actually win a cup.
Yeah, he didn't want it. He wasn't going to cut their hair like David Luiz or someone. Do you remember?
I think it was Luiz. Yeah,
it's a bit like that. I'm just going to be drinking out that bloody cup until I'm 90, and hating it every day.
It's actually more ridiculous than his treble at Man United, isn't it?
He's really upped his game on that, hasn't he?
Or lowered his game?
Yeah, it's impressive. Either way, he also reminded everyone that he had an offer to become England manager in 2008 after he left Chelsea, but he turned it down. Also an offer to manage Real Madrid and Portugal on the side on a part-time basis. That seems like a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Speaking of missed opportunities, before we get out of here, let's talk quickly about the six Premier League clubs. They've been through the mill here, the six breakaway lads. They will certainly never do anything naughty again, because those clubs that were involved in trying to start a breakaway league that would destroy the entire football pyramid and sequester money off in a little unbreakable chamber, which involved no relegation or promotion or very limited amounts that would mean that they were in charge of everything. They have been fined, guys, in a way that means they will absolutely never, ever try and do something again. £22 million between them by the Premier League.
Between them.
So this is essentially, if you were to, I don't know, book a table for work drinks, put down a deposit and not turn up.
Mm.
Isn't it? That's basically what it is for them.
Or is it like...
I mean, obviously that's disgusting behaviour, but you know... it's something that they can stomach the loss.
Yeah. Or is it more like I try and steal Jim's car and then... I'm like, very sorry, and give you a tenner.
Yeah, I mean,
take that
I didn't
for petrol.
Actually steal it, but I would, like, I was caught. That was it. I was caught trying to steal Jim's car.
Yeah.
So, what, you had the keys in your back pocket?
Yeah.
But
I could have gone away.
You never
with
actually
it.
Got on the drive.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
I think that's the direct equivalent, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't drive, but I feel like representing Arsenal in this whole, like, debacle, that's actually appropriate. Because I shouldn't be there anyway.
So, it basically equates to about £3.5 million per club. I'm just, that gap was just for, like, think about all the money that they have. Mm.
Did we really expect anything different, though?
And also, does a financial penalty, unless it's hundreds of millions, which they're not going to accept, does it really do anything anyway?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to wonder how much the Premier League wants to damage these clubs when they are the jewels in the crown, despite what happened. And there was talk of points deductions and stuff, but then that makes for a very, very strange season. And I don't think you would have almost a version of the post Calciopoli season in Italy, where it was a bit weird and it was a terrible look for the league.
Yeah, it diminishes the brand, which is what the Premier League is all about. And you know, every brand, for want of a better word, has taken a beating in some way or other over the pandemic. I feel like the last season and a half in the Premier League has been the poorest I can remember in a long time. And obviously the Premier League wants to see its way out of that.
Would you like to hear what the wording is of the breach of the rule that they made? So they breached rule B16, which outlines that each club shall behave towards each other club and the league with the utmost good faith. Only breached it a little bit, didn't they?
Yeah.
Just not quite the utmost.
I'm going to start using that phrasing in telling offs in the future. you do get tired of the sound of your own voice.
Telling people off.
Yeah. I think, can you say to two brothers under 10, I feel that you've not acted in the utmost good faith to each other?
Oh, absolutely you can.
I think you can, can't you?
Yeah. You've broken rule B16 again, you little squit. Just to put it in some context, Berwick cost Manchester United twice as much as trying to break football into 1,000 pieces. Apparently, the Premier League's annual conference is today, so presumably they just thought,
yeah, just deal with this really quickly, move on.
But they've been deliberating for 7 weeks, so clearly this must be the most perfect punishment they could have devised over a period of many weeks. Mm. And who are we to question it?
Well, ever since you mentioned Bebe, I'm not really listening anymore.
Yeah.
You know, he scored a couple of times in the promotion playoff semi for Rayo Vallecano. Oh, he looks decent at that level. Decent.
So worth it then?
Yeah, pretty much. Ramble indoors transfer. Yeah.
I was actually Googling the lyrics to Love Shack to see if I could make a joke about what rule B-52 might be. But I couldn't really find anything.
It's because you should have gone for Rock Lobster.
Yeah, I should have. I really should have. Let us know. What should rule B-52 be in the Premier League rule?
Yeah, definitely do. And, of course, it is one day to go until the Euros now.
Yes! It's exciting, isn't it? It's exciting. I feel like a little boy. I love it. It's
so nice to see your enthusiasm. I'm on the way, having had this chat with you, despite all of the annoying stuff that you've been saying, Andy Brassel, I have started to come back up from the low at which I started of realising that England aren't actually going to win the Euros. But I think it's just anxiety, isn't it?
There's going to be a point where they trick us into thinking they might just do it. And that 10 minutes or so is going to be beautiful. And it will make it all worth it, as it does every single time. Apart from when they're so bad, they don't trick you into thinking.
It was the sort of 10 minutes after the Kieran Trippier free kick in the World Cup, wasn't it?
Exactly. Oh,
that was a beautiful moment.
Once everyone's barbecuing, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Just feel better. Is that an invite? Because I got some face paint.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Can I put face paint on you? Can I put England flag face paint on you, Andy Brassel?
I do have very sensitive skin, so there's some negotiations.
I can get some really sensitive England flag face paint. Is that a commitment?
I suppose the thing is, if it reacts really badly with my skin, I'm going off to Budapest on Monday, so you won't see the results anyway, will you?
Well, hopefully you'll have an England flag burnt onto your face.
Yeah. Sunburned Englishman might be that unusual, will it? It look the same.
I mean, I tell you, for a country that hasn't received British visitors for a while, I can't think of anything better to go through passport control with.
Yes, across the ramble over the next day before the Euros kick off, we have got Marcus, Luke and Andy with a big old Euros preview. That's tomorrow's show. Don't forget to listen to that. You can also get your bumper preview of the teams to look out for across Europe on today's On the Continent. And if you catch that and have any questions, head over to our Patreon for 5 p.m. tonight for a live pre-Euros Q&A. That's Marcus, Andy and Nikki Bandini. Patreon.com/footballramble. We just cannot get enough of this stuff, Russell. You're just buzzing, I can tell.
Yes.
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 As we all are. All right, fine. England are going to win the Euros. Lovely to see you. Thanks for joining us, dear listeners. Thanks for joining the studio, Jim. Nice to see you.
You too.
Nice to see you, Brass.
Likewise.
Nice to see you, listener friends. Take care.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.